Psalm 25, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. So let's sing to our faithful God today like this.
We have this confidence in Jesus. His blood has brought us into freedom. There is no other that can save us. Cause we know, yes we know, it's Jesus.
Here we go!
He is always with us, faithful and true. In our weakness, He is bringing us through. A highway through the valley, a promise through the pain. He is always with us, faithful and true. Oh, I know who you are. You're faithful, Lord. I have a reason to sing today. Come on.
There's
only one who never fails us. Cause we know, yes, we know, it's...
Yeah, with conviction today. Cause we know,
it's Jesus. He is always with us, faithful and true. In our weakness, He is bringing us through. A highway through the valley,
come.
trust in you, Lord.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you lift your hands? It's our God who reigns. His love endures forever.
Our God, you reign forever all my days.
Hallelujah.
Greatest reward that I could ever want.
reverence before you. For there is no one, there is nothing in all of this world that can compare to you. And oh, the surpassing worth of knowing you, Jesus, and being yours, Jesus. So we stand in awe of your holiness, of your worthiness. We stand in awe of your love, your compassion, your goodness. And I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you as we behold you today, God. And I stand.
Can we turn this room to an example of eternity?
Church, I feel a slight nudge, an invitation of the Holy Spirit to press back in one more time. I know a sampling of the stories in this room. I'm a pastor. I talk to people. My friends tell me what's happening and stuff's happening in my life. And I know that it could be easy to quit. How can we keep going? We keep going because we just sang it. He shall return in robes of white and the blazing sun shall pierce the night. And I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. And I sense there's despair in the room that is going to be rebuked today in Jesus' name, that the enemy is going to be cast out today, that faith is going to return today. And I just want us to sing that verse one more time, press in. So I invite you, some of you, you might just need to lift your hands as a sign that I believe this. I'm going for it. I trust this. Come on, let's sing it. He shall return.
He shall return with a roar.
Maybe some of you are standing with friends or family members or someone you know. If that's you and you trust them, could you just take their hand right now? The only rule here is don't be weird, okay? But we are going to pray the words that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. These 2,000-year-old words, and every tribe, tongue, nation, and people group around the world today is praying these words. And so let's join the body of Christ by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, can you give God thanks for what he's already done here in this service? Two things. If you're a part of this body of Christ, we invite you to give your tithes and offerings. It's simple. Three ways to give. You can click the link. You can send it snail mail, carrier pigeon, whatever you want to do. Be a part of the body of Christ here. That's one thing. The second thing is we want to be the smallest big church in America. And it's happening every week. People are coming in. They're looking for each other. They're encouraging each other. They're being kind and hospitable. So let's take 45 seconds. Take a minute. Cross the aisle. Hug a neck. Shake a hand. Be kind in Jesus' name. And then we'll open the Bible. 1, 2, 3. Be nice.
Good morning, I'm Becky.
And I'm Nate.
And we're so glad you're joining us this morning at New Life North.
If this is your first time here, or you're looking for some more information, will you click that link below?
And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, let us know where you're watching from so we can say hi.
At this point, we're getting ready for the service, so let's grab our Bibles, let's grab our notebooks, and let's get ready to hear such a great word today.
Ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Church, come on in and grab your seats. Today we have a really, really special treat. A dear friend of New Life Church is here. And we're in week 14 of our series going through the Gospel of John, Behold Him. And so today I want to tell you about our guest speaker. Megan Fate Marshman is the teaching pastor, one of the teaching pastors at Willow Creek in Chicago. She's the director of Hume Lake Camp, the women's ministry there. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's got two stud little boys that are growing up in the faith. They're incredible. And the list could go on and on. She's finishing her doctorate, yada, 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 okay? She's done her work. But here's what I'll tell you about Megan Marshman. She is a woman of God. She has paid the price to follow Jesus. She has denied herself, taken up her cross, and been faithful. Her following Jesus has cost her something, and it's purified her on the other side of it. And we trust this woman. We love her. She knows the scriptures inside and out. And so I want you to open your hearts today. I want you to lean in today. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. And would you join me in giving a beautiful New Life Church welcome to Megan Fate Marshman?
Hello, are you excited? Because I am. Because we get to open up God's word and then hear from him in the places we need to know it the most. And the good news is you don't have to pretend to be somewhere else other than right where you're at to meet with him. Isn't that good news? You don't have to like leap from where you've been all week to some holy spiritual place in order to receive a word from him. If you're tired, that's where he wants to meet you. If you're mad, if you don't care, I have good news for you, person that doesn't care. The person sitting next to you cares. But if you don't care, here's the good news. He can meet you right there. But if you're willing to be honest about it, one of my theology professors says this. He goes, prayer, it's not a place to be good. It's a place to be honest. If you want a really boring prayer life, spend all your time performing and being good in it rather than just being honest, because there's someone who went to the cross on your behalf to make relationship possible so that you wouldn't have to do a single thing by yourself ever. If you are in Christ, you're not alone. Isn't that good news? I'm not going to ask you to ignore your pain. I'm actually going to invite you to bring it and see what the word of the Lord wants to do to speak into it, even if it means you need to allow yourself to feel it. Because what you'll find is a response from your heavenly God who likely feels it too. So let's start by going to him. I read in the scriptures about how people can like harden their heart or soften it. Sometimes God hardens hearts and softens. Let's just go and beg him that we could actually open up our hearts, hear a word from the living God, and then walk out changed. But I can't do that, so we should probably go to prayer, yes? So would you just join me in prayer and not just listen to me pray? Let's do it. So Heavenly Father, right now I pray for every single individual that each one would be honest right now with you. Even if it's, God, I'm mad at you. Pray for courage to be honest. If it's, I'm confused, I'm really sad, I'm excited, I'm celebrating, I'm lonely, whatever it is, nothing's off limits. I wish my kid would fill in the blank. Whatever's on the heart, it can be spoken to him. He cares about it. Wherever your mind's going right now, if it's going to lunch, tell them you hope it's great. Heavenly Father, we need you and we need to hear from you. Would you give us courage to respond, to open up our hearts, and then say yes to whatever your spirit nudges us to do or stop doing for your glory, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Daniel talked out of John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. I love that Jesus says that. It's like, okay, just don't Just don't let your hearts be troubled. Easy enough. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going. I love the disciples. They're so relatable. They're like this. We don't know. We don't know how to, what place? And then of course, as he communicated 2 weeks ago, Jesus responds with I. Not just about the place, but he goes about how to get to the place. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? And then last week, right, we talked about Jesus preparing him for what to do in the meantime before that place. What do? You abide. You endure with him. You get through it not by yourself, not relying on yourself and being strong enough, not trying to just convince yourself that you can do this on your own. Any other moms of young children ever just go, I just need to stop being angry. I got this. Good luck. Here's where I want to go this morning. I want to talk about the place and then talk about how we can do it with him. What is the place? I want to talk about heaven. Amen. I've been, I didn't get emotional in the last one. I've been studying heaven for 3 years, like big time, because my husband went to heaven 3 years ago. Heart attack. Surprise. And so I've read the like dense books. I've read the stories of near-death experiences. I mean, I've read it more than you can imagine. I mean, and in some of those, like people's gotten, I've gotten visions of standing before the throne room of God and every part of their life being exposed, like every secret, all of it uncovered, laid bare, which is scriptural, laid bare before the one who is seated on the throne. And I've heard testimonies of this. And in that moment, I've never felt more loved. So I know there's something about heaven. People have written songs about it. We've already sung once. We'll sing again in a minute. People have written songs about heaven. Let's hear what God's word has to say about it. And as we do, let's also maybe even admit some of the reasons we don't think about it. Because the things of the world have not grown strangely dim. They've gotten very loud. But when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, what happens to the things of earth? Strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So let's look to heaven. And then see how heaven is looking back to us and see what happens. Yeah? You ready? Just a little snapshot of some things that have been written about heaven that maybe are the reasons we haven't jumped into the scriptures for ourselves. One of them, I really like the way John Eldridge puts it. He says this, nearly every Christian I've spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. So we settle on this image of a never-ending sing-along in the sky. One great hymn after another, and then another, and then another, forever and ever, amen. And then, if we're honest, our hearts sink forever. That's it. Is that the good news? But then we sigh and feel guilty that we're not more spiritual. So we lose heart. And then what do? We turn back once more to this present earth to find whatever life we can. Will we worship God in heaven? Yes. But God also, listen to this, he knows what attracts us. A place where we can do meaningful and pleasurable things with really enjoyable people. Charles Spurgeon wrote this in Coming to the Lord. To come to thee is to come home from exile. Anyone feel a little bit of exile? To come to the land out of a raging storm. It's like that moment you see the land. To come to rest after long labor, to come to the goal of my desires and the summit of all my wishes. Can I tell you why I want to think about heaven and why I want to go to scriptures? Here's why. Because it's better than you can even imagine. So we might as well start imagining, because the best thing we could ever imagine, it's better.
It's better, the summit of your desires. Why do you desire those things in you? Some of you have tried to just, and by the way, some of you, I say that to make myself feel protected, because the truth is that I have these longings and I have these desires that I just want to ignore and then just kind of endure. And I want to tell you, there's a reason you have those desires and those longings to feel loved and belonging, those desires for your entire family to be seated at the same table again. You know what I mean? Those desires you have for you to not struggle with that thing that you've kind of been convinced that it just will always be a thing. So you just keep it a secret. Oh, friends, the summit of all your, it's better than you can even imagine. So let's start imagining, because I think anxiety has dominated our imagination, and so worry is the byproduct. And I wonder if heaven can dominate our imagination, if peace might become a new byproduct for us. Are you in? So let's see heaven together. The Bible gives us, like I said, a lot to imagine. The Apostle Paul gives a vision of being, quote, caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he uses a word that is synonymous with the word paradise. The same word that Jesus gives to the repentant thief on the cross when he says this, today you will be with me in paradise. Not just the Apostle Paul, not just Jesus going to prepare a place. Also, all the way back to Isaiah. Isaiah, by the way, which was written all the way back in 740 BC, Isaiah chapter 6. You've probably heard the picture. Here's what he prophesies. In the year that King Uzziah died, by the way, we're purposefully not having some scriptures on the screen because I want you to close your eyes and allow your imagination to imagine. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. High and exalted. If you're wondering what it looks like, pay attention. Close your eyes and envision. He's seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. Can you see it? And they were calling to one another, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts shook, the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah's words, verse 5, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Which makes me wonder, if you were to enter into his presence, what would you utter? Oh. John gets a vision of the throne room in that heavenly choir in Revelation chapter 4. He says this, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, a door. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, day and night. They never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You can open your eyes if you haven't already. Welcome back. Holy. Can you picture it? The pictures I've read about in scriptures in heaven is not just about what's presently taking place. Scripture even goes on. The book of Revelation, John talks about a future time. In Revelation chapter 21, this is the most familiar scripture you've likely heard. It's this. Here's what John sees. Notice he sees it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. What's the next two words?
Coming down.
I didn't hear anything. We could try again. You want to try again? That's okay. You didn't know it was coming. Now you do. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Interesting direction, right? Out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And look what will happen. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. But I have to tell you this, that's in the future. In the meantime, tears have a purpose. Some ladies will come to me and they'll say, I'm so sorry. And they'll go, it's such an ugly cry. And I go, praise God, the ugly cry, that those tears are coming out. Because can you imagine what it was doing on the inside? The uglier, the better. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Anyone else longing for this day? He who was seated on the throne said this, I am making everything new. Notice he doesn't say, I am making new, all new things. He's saying, I'm making all things new. I love this. Because I think about the future and then I just long for the future. But here's the shocker. Why don't we experience this now? And what does this whole heaven message have to do with now? See, here's what the world that we're presently living in, ever since the fall of humanity in Genesis chapter 3, when the relationship was broken between God and man, there was all sorts of brokenness that went out from that place. Not just broken relationship with God, also man's broken relationship with each other. We have hurt each other. We have been hurt by each other. Not just a broken relationship with others. How about this one? There's even a broken relationship in view of ourselves. That's why. And then there's a broken relationship even with the ground. Disease, aging suddenly appears. Suddenly all these things and everything started to go wrong. But here's what we find in this Revelation picture, that when the relationship with God is restored, look what happens. Tears are wiped. Things begin to shift. Things in you, things around you, things outside of you. In fact, I love Kyle Eidelman was studying this passage, and he goes, it's just interesting to get to John when he's writing about what he saw, and it's like he starts by telling, here's what I saw, but then it's almost like the English language can't quite capture what he sees. So he starts going, here's what's not there. Let me tell you what's not there. And so he created a note in his phone, and then I followed suit and created a note in my phone about here's the things that will be no more in heaven. John started it in Revelation 21. He says, there will be no more mourning, crying, pain, death. Here, let me continue. There will be no more cancer, abortions, affairs, temptation, misunderstandings, heart disease, cerebral palsy, CPAP machines. Amen. Foster care, family dysfunction. None of it. Not within your biological family, and also not within the family of God. Ooh, no more prescriptions, no more orphans, no more worry. Can you imagine not worrying what people think about you all the time? One day. Anxiety, gone. Divorce, rejection, loneliness, feeling left out, arguments, suffering, longing. I just add to this every day. Today I added a few more, so it's just going to be longer. Sorry. No more depression, no more wheelchairs, apathy, abuse, radiation, racism, anxiety, medication, middle-of-the-night phone calls, self-hate, sexual abuse, comparison, rape, breakups, acne, accidents, disease, laundry. I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm not sure. Some people are like, I know, diseases, gone, laundry. Oh, I said it again. Curses, taxes, not sure, worry. We won't lack anything.
fear, no more fear of the future, no more striving, no more eating disorders, no more obsession over food, no more purposelessness, no more boredom, no more single parenting, no more sin, mistakes, accidents, locks on doors, no more unsatisfaction, no more burdens to provide, no more glasses, prosthetics, special needs, reading disorders, seizures, no more socially awkward. Some of you have believed that word about yourself for a very long time, and I want to say that's just not in the future. That could be possible today for you to stop believing that truth. That's not actually been true ever. No more secrets. No more lies, pornography, demons, disappointments, alcoholism, suicide, wrinkles, muffin tops. I was having a day. Okay, feeling like you're behind. No more angry neighbors, confusion, persecution, dread, welfare, shame, blame, condemnation, accusation. No more violence, fear of the future, stealing, funeral homes, nursing homes, waiting rooms, tired, double chins. No more shaving. I don't know. Hormones, crash dieting, spanking, arthritis, migraines, heart attacks, abuse, anxiety, no more gossip, no more using our words to hurt people. Why? No more sad, no more bad, no more of the way things were never meant to be. Because he who is seated on the throne is making everything new. And I want to tell you something. That word right there is in the present tense. Although we're getting a picture of the future, he goes, I'm not waiting for the future. How do I know? Because when my little boy, 8 years old, we talk a lot about heaven. My littlest boy, we talk so often about heaven that on Friday night, right before the service, he goes, Mom, what do you think God's favorite color is? I'm like, I don't know. Green? I don't know. Life? I don't know. He goes, it's gold. And I even think about gold. How is that purified? Through fire sometimes. And it's streets of gold, right? We've read about it. We know about it. It's beautiful. But my little 8-year-old on that drive goes, Mom, I just kind of want to be there now. I know I'm not the only one. But then God just deposits in that moment, a great moment to look at him and go, me too. And we don't have to wait for heaven to experience parts of it now. Friends, if heaven is a table with certain people at it that you've been not in relationship with, I wonder how the Spirit's leading you to make that right. If you just had a very self-conscious view of self for a very long time, I wonder how his word wants to speak into you to have a true view of yourself. I wonder if what's going to be true in the future, we don't have to wait for. Why? Because Jesus even taught us to pray it. Our Father, who art where? Hallowed be thy name. It's all about you. It's all about your name. Forgive me for making it about mine. May your kingdom, may your will be where? As it is in. He taught us to pray that it would break forth now. Oh, and by the way, just a little note. When I think about heavenly rewards, because that's in the Bible too, there's a lot. Not that it's about that. Jesus is the reward. But he also talks about rewards. Why? Because he knows that we like them. But then I read the Sermon on the Mount. I continue on in that scripture, the one with the Lord's Prayer, and I keep on reading. And do you know who gets the most heavenly rewards? It's all the stuff that's done in secret. Isn't that interesting? So just so you know, someone who's doing all the things and feels very unseen, the caretakers in the room, I just want to let you know he sees you. And I'm actually pretty convinced that the kingdom wants to break forth just as much in these big arenas as it is in those small little moments when you will never get a thank you. It's in the apology that you're willing to make, even though you've been waiting for them to apologize first for years. The kingdom is wanting to break forth. It's already and not yet, right? We are a church that believes this already and not yet. And I wonder if you can be invited today, if it's true that he is making, present tense, all things new. I wonder where he wants to begin with you this morning. We have two different heavenly worship services in the Bible, and I've already read them. We got the Isaiah passage, right?
that was written so long ago. Isaiah chapter 6. And then we have this Revelation chapter 4 vision. And in between those two is 830 years. Isaiah, written in 740 BC. John's vision, 92 AD. And what's astounding to me is that worship has actually shifted that could inform us how to respond to this message. There's a lot of similarities between the two. I'm sure you heard it when I read. What's similar? A few things. Number one, there's a throne at the center of the universe, and we're not on it. And even though in our world, thrones and kingdoms and authorities and different things have come and they've gone, there is one throne that has always been and will forever be it, and it still has the one seated on it who is ruling and who is reigning. That stays the same. What else is the same? It talks about these creatures who are attending to the throne. Do you remember? And in both instances, the creatures have six wings. Did you catch that? Ooh. Remember the first one in Isaiah? They're covering the eyes, covering the face, and flying. And the second one, they still have all the wings. And then what's also similar, remember the words, holy, holy, holy. If you want to know what it tastes like to have heaven here as it is there, it means we are crying out, holy, holy. What is holy? Holy means other. It means set apart. It's beautiful. It's pure. He is other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But the distinction between these two verses is what makes our worship Christian. In Isaiah, one of the differences has to do with the eyes. So you got the six wings in both instances, but in the Isaiah passages, BC, what are they doing with the wings? They're covering the eyes. They're covering. But there's a difference, because when you get to Revelation passage, it has no mention of eyes being covered. You know what's mentioned? There's a whole lot of eyes that can suddenly behold the holiness of God. Something had happened in the middle of those two passages. Do you know what it is? Something changed. What is that change? John can't help but write about it as he continues to see the vision, not just in Revelation chapter 4, but also Revelation chapter 5, because in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, you have the heart and the beauty of why we're worshiping in the first place. And here's what it says. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. Where is it? Standing at the center of the throne. What happened between the two that took covering of the eyes to suddenly all the eyes is at the center of the throne. There is a lamb who is slain. Who's the lamb? The same lamb that John saw, the lamb of God that would one day take away all the sins of the world. So what happened? What happened is that that sin that would keep us from him, the sin that sometimes you feel far from him when you're in the midst of, and your secrets and your hiding are only keeping you continually aware of self and how unworthy am I. And there was a lamb that came, a perfect lamb of God, perfect, pure, and blameless, came to earth. He lived the perfect life. And he, Jesus Christ, goes to the cross. Why? Because the wages of our sin, of that brokenness within us. It says in Romans, the wages of our sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, a separation from God. Friends, we deserve to be so far from he who is holy, holy, holy. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be so far and never able to behold his glory is what we deserve. And the reason he goes to the cross is to take that which we deserve. And on the third day, he rises from the dead, proving that he truly is the first fruit of the resurrection, the very first one to himself rise from the dead, proving that he has the power to make anything dead alive. And what's the wages of our sin? Death. Which means this, church. Because the Lamb was slain on our behalf, the penalty of our sin was paid in full. He experienced what he did so that you would never have to. Now, I recognize that this world is not as it one day will be. But I gotta tell you, for those who are in the midst of pain, I see you. I see see you. And this is as close to hell as you'll ever get. And the reason we need to intake this message, not just hear it and keep moving on, the reason we need to allow the one who is seated on the throne to make all things new, to allow that to begin in us, is because for some people around us, this is as close to heaven as they'll ever taste. And so we need to look to the one who is seated on the throne and change our language, just as it was changed from Isaiah to Revelation. In Isaiah, the appropriate response, Isaiah says what? Woe is me. When he enters into the throne room of God, it's woe is me. And that's why some of us don't even want to enter into the throne room of God, because you know what you've done. Woe is me. And while that is appropriate, because he is so other and he is so holy, because we have the Lamb of God who was slain on our behalf, we can, just like John, walk in and say, worthy are you to receive power and glory and honor, because I know me, you love me, died for me so that I could stand here, and worthy are you to take all of it on my behalf, so that I could come and approach, as the author of Hebrews writes, I can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. The throne, the holy, holy, the lightning, you know what I mean? We read it, you know what I mean? And you, because of the Lamb, can approach that throne with confidence. He already knows and loves you, knowing all of you. So you can keep having things hidden, trying to do it on your own strength, or you can come with confidence and say, I believe in Jesus. And this is so personal, because I not only imagine heaven a lot, I imagine Randy standing right there. And I shared this in desperation. I imagine the confident strut of him to the throne room. Because Hebrews says confidence. I just picture it. Like, you know, the throne, but him just walking up. Why? Not because he's showing up with his resume of good behavior. Because if he was, woe is me. But he's walking up in Christ. Christ is in him. He is covered by the blood of the Lamb, slain on his behalf, so that he could stand before a holy God and go, worthy are you? If God were to ask him, what do you think makes you worthy to be in here? His response, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the one who paid it all. So all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So church, come to him this morning. Come to him in confidence. You're not gonna surprise him. Your anger at life's circumstances won't surprise him. In fact, you might find he's angry about it too. He hates death. That's why he did something about it. He hates pain. He hates that this world is not as it should be. And guess what? That's why he's sending you into the world to begin to be a part of what one day will be, to make things right yet again. And I got to tell you, it's those small ways as much as it's the big ways. A friend of mine said she recently had lunch with a homeless person. And I really liked that. You want to know why? Because giving lunch to a homeless person, that's nice. Having lunch with a homeless person, you know what that is? That's dignifying. It's getting low and looking kids in the eyes. It's doing everything that Jesus began and then equipped you for. Why? Because he invites you to believe on him, not believe in yourself to do all the good things in his name. No, believe on him. Because here's the best part. John 14, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place. John 15, he said, remain, endure, abide. Be with me and let my life come through you. And the one who spoke this is the one who is seated on a throne, presently making all things new. Lord, would you give us faith to believe it? And even now, would we consider our longings, a part of us? Lord, I pray you'd give us faith to trust you. That you not only can, that you will make all things new.
So I pray, Lord, that we would continue to be honest with you, approach your throne of grace with confidence so we can find exactly what we need, the summit of all of our desires, ultimately, Lord, found in you. Forgive us for running to other places. Forgive us, Lord. Purify us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, for taking away the sin of my life. We pray. And all God's children said, amen.
Church, can we say thank you for that word? Would you stand with me? My goodness. We are standing on holy ground right now. Can you feel the presence of the Spirit here? I want to invite our communion servers to come forward, and I can hardly think of anything better to do right now than to come to the table of the Lord, to respond to Jesus, to come chase after the Lamb of God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song straight out of Revelation chapter 5. Megan just taught us through it. It's the throne room scene. We're going to worship Jesus, and we're going to come through the room. If you're physically not able to, ask your neighbor to bring you an extra cup. They'll gladly do it. But as you do, I want you to think of yourself responding to Jesus, stepping forward, coming to him. So let's worship Jesus here in just a second. I'll come back up, and we'll receive communion together. Come and worship the Lord.
Holy.
spent a lot of time in the book of Revelation today glimpsing what is to come. And in chapter 19, we're taken to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to bring us back to the table with our people. He's going to bring us back to the table where there's unity, where there's friendship, where there's kindness, where there's generosity. The world will not end in political tribalism. The world will not end with Democrats and Republicans. The world will not end with black and white and brown. The world will end with every tribe, tongue, and nation saying, "You are worthy and good job, God, and you brought us back together." And so when we come to the table of the Lord today, we're not just thanking God for personal salvation. We are, for sure, absolutely. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But we're also thanking God in advance, and we're learning to anticipate from the depths of our being that the end of the story is the table of the Lord. And so I'm asking you to come by faith today. And I'm talking like vigorous, fearless faith today. That Jesus said that I am going to make all things new, and I'm making it new right now. And he says, "This is my body and it's broken for you." This is the down payment guaranteeing we're gonna get it done. And every time you do this, Jesus says, "Do this for me. Remember me. Don't you ever forget what I've done to secure that table." So friends, I invite you by faith to receive from Jesus his broken body that guarantees the future. What about all the foolishness? What about all the stupidity? What about the moments that carry so much shame in our past and the memories that the enemy wants to heap up on us? He says, that's not what you're gonna remember. He breaks open the bottle of wine. He passes the glass hours before he's crucified on Golgotha. He says, "This cup is the new covenant, and it's given in my blood, and it's given for the remission of your sins. The end of the story is going to be drink up, friends. Salvation has finally come." And so on that word from Jesus, we drink by faith in advance that we're clean and he's taking us home. Friends, drink up to the restoration of all things. Now let's sing, "Your name is the highest." Come on.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, oh, it stands above them all. Hey, you're frozen. All powers end. Your name, it stands above. All creation cries.
Church, I haven't done this in the other two services this weekend, but this is the third time Megan has preached this, and you cannot imagine what it's cost her to preach this, okay? So as a preacher, I know what she has done this weekend, and I can't imagine the ache, so I'm gonna ask you to stretch your hands out to Megan right now and begin to speak the blessing of God over her. Mom, could you lay hands on Megan? Speak the blessing of God over her. She has given us such a gift. Her boys have given us such a gift to send her. And so, Lord, we pray that you would surprise Megan by sending her home with more than she came with. Fresh spiritual authority. Lord, restore her body, restore her soul, restore her spirit, relax her mind, give her sweet sleep. We thank you that those boys, Foster and Jedediah, would rise up to be the men of God that we know they are. We speak over their future, and it is claimed for the kingdom in Jesus' name. We rebuke all fear in Jesus' name, and we pray that this woman of God would feel a fresh spiritual authority being poured out on her, that she would feel the wind of God at her back, that she would sense the delight of God. We say over you what heaven says over you today, Megan. Well done, thou good and faithful. You've done it. And so, Lord, we speak our blessing over her. Renew her, refresh her, restore her, reinvigorate her. Let her know how loved she is by you and by all of us here at New Life Church. Can you say amen today, church? Give it up for her one more time. And now, church, would you open your hands to receive the blessing of God? I pray, may the Lord our God bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his bright, smiling countenance upon you and all of your people. And may he grant you peace today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, can we give God thanks for what he's done here today? What an awesome day in the house of God. Couple things. Our prayer team is coming down. If you need any prayer, please swing by. If you're new, meet us at Connect Central right out those doors in the lobby. Go from here in God's grace and peace. Much love.